At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Some of more than $5 billion in federal funding announced for disaster recovery projects in the state will come to North Texas. The governor's office yesterday said about $275 million will go to the Dallas Floodway and Floodway Extension, the Lewisville Dam feeding into the Dallas Floodway between the Trinity River levees will get an additional $92 million. The Dallas Morning News reports that's welcome news for residents who live, work, and own businesses in parts of the city prone to flooding. Promised levees and pump stations have been repeatedly shelved for decades because of federal inaction. However, Hurricane Harvey devastation along the Gulf Coast highlighted the need for more flood control work in the state. Tomorrow marks 2 years since four city police officers and a DART officer were killed during an ambush in downtown Dallas. The police department will honor those officers at a ceremony later this morning. The event begins at 10:30 a.m. with a prayer outside the main entrance of the Jack Evans Police Headquarters on South Lamar Street. After remarks by Police Chief Hugh Renee Hall, the ceremony will close with a moment of silence and a balloon release. And tomorrow morning at 9, there'll be a fallen officer's memorial at Dallas City Hall Plaza. There'll be a color guard presentation followed by a 35-mile memorial motorcycle ride. Granbury has temporarily closed its City Beach Park to make safety improvements. The city will add water markers at the 5.5 and 6 feet marks, and a security company will be hired to reinforce park rules. Now, this decision follows two recent deaths at the park. 31-year-old David Chavez of Cleburne drowned on Independence Day while swimming at City Beach. A 22-year-old male drowned on June 16th while with his family. Granbury officials say there's no timetable for when the beach will reopen. The city will announce the date on social media. A big, chunky building with tiny, obscured windows along Bryan Street in Old East Dallas has been a bit of a mystery. A pair of reporters from the online news site The Intercept think they've unraveled some of that mystery. For this week's Friday Conversation, KERA's Rick Holter talked with one of those reporters, Ryan Gallagher, via Skype from London. Gallagher thinks the AT&T building is a spy hub for the National Security Agency.
You've identified 8 of these buildings in key cities across the country. Before we get to the spy part, what role do these buildings play?
The important thing about these buildings is that they're internet hubs that are used by AT&T to process internet data, not just within the US, but internationally as well across the world. So they're basically funneling huge amounts of internet traffic every day in and out of each of these 8 buildings, which are positioned all across the United States.
How does the NSA play into this?
Going back, I think, more than a decade now, the NSA was interested in trying to tap into the internet data that is flowing through these buildings on a daily basis. And they're using equipment that is fitted within these buildings that basically kind of filters out certain parts of the traffic that they're interested in to gather intelligence on people and groups. Most of it seems to have started after 9/11. They really changed what they were doing after that happened.
The NSA was set up to only monitor communications outside the country, but even now after 9/11, there are limits on what the agency can monitor.
Yeah, there absolutely are limits. I mean, legally speaking, NSA is not allowed to just solely domestic communication. Like if you in Dallas were speaking to a friend in California, legally speaking, if NSA wanted to monitor that, they would have to get an individualized search warrant to do that, and they would have to liaise probably with FBI. But there's a kind of gray area when it comes to your communication in Dallas or in California with somebody who is in another part of the world, because NSA has very broad latitude to intercept and eavesdrop on international communications, even if one side of them is in the United States. And so this is what is a really interesting part of what these buildings are doing, because they are tapping into that kind of communication, international communication. And we know for sure that a large volume of those will include Americans' information.
Where did you dig up this information?
We started this project end of 2016, where we looked at a building in New York City. And that was based in part on the documents that were leaked by Edward Snowden, the former National Security Agency contractor in 2013. But we couldn't do it just based on those documents. There wasn't enough information. So we used open source information from AT&T maps that we were able to find. We also managed to get multiple sources who themselves had some knowledge of how the networks were working, and some of them actually have said in the past that they were aware of what was going on with this kind of spy equipment being fitted within their networks. So we just kind of pieced together all these different parts of the puzzle.
What does AT&T say about this?
Well, they don't say much. They have a general statement that they'll put out where they say that they do what they're legally obliged to do. That's effectively all they'll say about it. It's not a topic they want to talk about. And it's the same with NSA also. They want to keep their cards close to their chest on this kind of stuff. So,
if you made it inside that building on Bryant Street in Dallas, what would you see?
Well, I think probably to the untrained eye, you wouldn't really see all that much. It's not like there's this big sign that says NSA spy equipment or anything like that, you know. It's just going to be like kind of racks and servers and cables and, you know, flashing lights and all that. Because also nowadays, the equipment is actually so much smaller, we don't think it necessarily even takes up a huge amount of space within the building. They have these what they call splitter cables, which basically the NSA kind of makes a copy of the data as it's coming through. And so one part of the copy ends up in the NSA's databases, and the other part just goes on its way as if, you know, it was untouched. When you get into the technical part of it, it's really quite interesting if you're into that sort of geekery.
Ryan Gallagher, reporter for The Intercept, joined us from London. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on.
30% chance of rain in the forecast today. Partly sunny skies otherwise, with a high near 94. It's 83 degrees now in Dallas, 79 in Fort Worth.